Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, 8:11, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay, and joining me now is a good friend who was also in leadership Pensacola with me, best class ever, most successful class ever, I think is what we say now, Brett Aldridge, the president of Baptist Hospital. Brett, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Good to be with you again.
Great.
Seems like we're talking on a regular basis these days.
Well, it's almost like we have a big event happening, you know? Okay. So Saturday is the big move day. I'm going to just open the floor for you. What do people need to know about what is going to happen on Saturday? Because this is a big production.
It is. You know, we've talked about it before, but years and years of planning have gone into this production. You know, we have been working diligently, planning every step along the way. So here are some of the key points that people need to know. The first is that the emergency department at our legacy campus on Ian Marino will close at 3 a.m. So we will no longer have an open emergency department beginning at 3 a.m. that Saturday morning. Now, at 3 a.m. in 1 second, we will open the emergency department and trauma center at our new hospital on Brent Lane. So I think that's really important for people to know. If you have a medical emergency and it is 3 a.m., go to the new hospital and we will take care of you there. Now, around 5 a.m. is when we expect to start moving our first patient. So around that time frame, what you'll see is ambulances moving throughout the city with police escorts, ensuring that the traffic is clear and so that they can be safe and efficient in moving patients. But that's what you can expect to see. And then sometime that evening, we plan to be finished somewhere between 5 and 8 p.m., just depending upon the number of patients that we see. It could go a little longer, could go a little shorter, but that's okay. Really, the numbers are irrelevant. We'll make sure that we have a safe and efficient move. So 3 a.m. ED closure, 5 a.m. beginning, and then sometime that evening, we should be all clear. So those are the kind of the key timelines and points.
And I know how people think, because I think the same way, which is, well, what if somebody's, you know, they get shot and they're going to the Baptist emergency room and they get there at 3:10, you know, how are they going to know? Or you've got an ambulance. I assume ambulances are actually easier to solve because dispatch will tell them where to go. But what's going to happen at the current campus if somebody shows up, or even the next day, you know, on Sunday? Because as we well know, despite the best efforts to get good information out across the community, not every single person is listening to me this morning or watching Channel 3 or reading the paper or has seen, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people who will not know this has happened until they find out that you're not there anymore.
Sure. So multiple steps there just to ensure the safety of the community. So the first is signage. We'll be placing signage around our campus and articulating to people, this emergency department is closed. You can go to the Brent Lane location with that address there. So that's step one. Step two is obviously if there's a significant emergency, we will have an ambulance placed at the campus for a period of time during the move to ensure if we start seeing walk-ups or drive-ups, that type of thing, we'll make sure to take care of those patients and get them where they need to go. That ambulance will be able to transport them to the new emergency department. So multiple layers of how we've thought about this. Obviously, during the course of the move, we'll still have medical staff on site within the hospital until the very last patient has been moved. So we'll continue to provide for both the patients inside the hospital and those that don't get the message and show up, but there will be signage, there will be public announcements on radio and on TV throughout that day and the days leading up. So we've really done everything we can to make sure that, one, people are aware, and two, if there is some instance where care is needed, we've got a plan for that as well.
So there's basically going to be a kind of a small-scale provisional emergency staff there for, as you said, some period of time, which I have to assume is maybe in the day's duration, like a couple of days or longer, but you know, you tell me if I'm wrong, and an ambulance so that if something shows up there, you can, you know, make sure to get them over to the new hospital. Is that right?
Well, it's not days because
per
the state, you cannot operate two emergency trauma centers at the same time. You have to operate just one. We'll have an ambulance stationed there for anybody who walks up. all ambulances and EMS, so really major emergencies, will know, and Chief Dorsell and Lifeguard and everybody's aware to go to the new campus. So that's how that will work.
Very good. We're talking to Brett Aldridge. He is the president of Baptist Hospital. Hang on for just a second, Brett. Let's get traffic on the fives from Candy.
All right. And it looks like some of the stuff has cleared up. 29 and 9.5 mile, it is still blocked southbound, but not as far back. It looks like they are cleaning that up. Pine Forest and 297A has been cleared up, so you should be able to get through there, no problem. And traffic flowing smoothly in J. It's harvest season in the area, so if you're traveling in the north parts of Escambia and Santa Rosa counties, please be on the lookout for farm equipment moving up and down the roads. Be prepared for delays and eat more peanuts. We got that from Ryan Jenkins.
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah, if you have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Brett Aldridge, the president of Baptist Hospital. Brett, we have you and I have talked, and other people, we've talked extensively about moving the patients, and that's going to be a very significant undertaking. But you have already been reducing census so that there are fewer people to transport, which makes obvious sense. We've also, you know, there's been stories about moving staff, and you guys have talked about, you know, getting people accustomed to the new facility, training, tabletop exercises for the changeover. There is one part of this that I heard from somebody that kind of gave me just a, hey, I wonder how this is going to work. I was told that there are something on the order of 22,000 pieces of equipment that are involved in this changeover, whether it's operating tables or x-ray machines or, God, I don't even know what things to say, but all the stuff that is the equipment for the hospital. What's the plan for moving all of that?
Yeah, so that has been an ongoing exercise. We have been actively working through that. So first, let's start with equipment at a global level. So almost 95% of the equipment that will be on this new campus is net new equipment.
Oh,
so
okay.
All of the major pieces of equipment, MRI, CT, operating tables, OR booms, all of that kind of stuff is new, which leaves about another 5%, which is the, you know, the remaining pieces of equipment like vital sign machines and scales and those types of things that we have been working to move over, really starting this week, and we'll really pick up an intensity over today and then tomorrow and then Friday, preparing for our Saturday opening. So in total, yes, it's probably even more than 22,000 pieces of equipment in total, but we're not moving that many pieces of equipment because 95% of that equipment is new in the new campus.
Okay, so it's not 63 men in a truck on Saturday.
No, it is a robust process that's involved, and you know it's actually kind of cool. We've had packing and tagging seminars for our team. Each department has a checklist of the equipment that's needed to move, any special requirements for that commitment. We're partnered with a company that this is all they do is move hospitals.
Wow, okay.
And move healthcare equipment.
Get the experts, yeah.
It's a very specialized process.
Yeah, that's funny. I just always think of the times I've moved is there's always stuff in the wrong place, in the wrong box. The boxes don't get opened and et cetera. You know, all the things that go with moving. Hey, different question for you, just because it's the thing that, you know, I find myself passionate about. I love the city center concept. I love what you've done with those Civil War era oaks that are right in the center of campus when you drive in. But the ones that I always really loved were the ones that were closer to the old church, the ones that, according to John Porter, are more like Revolutionary War era, 300 years old. The ones on the west side of campus, even on the west side of the new medical building that's going up. Do you guys have a plan for those? I know you're keeping them, and they're gorgeous and huge, but do you have a plan for a second like city center over on that side of campus?
Yeah, so the Henderson Health Center, as it completes its construction, landscaping is obviously a key component of that to really make the campus cohesive altogether. So there will be landscaping similar to what you see in the town square. It might not be as robust in terms of walking paths and fountains and those types of things, but it is going to be a fantastic area that is similar to the town square for patients and their families to be able to spend time in. So they'll really come together as part of a cohesive landscape across this whole kind of city square, town square, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and it's one of the things I think that it's not been talked too much about as an odd, interesting benefit of what you guys are doing is those trees and that kind of park space that's always been there, but private land, really, you know, you except for the church, you can kind of walk around. I don't think most people really ever used it for anything, and it's amazing. And now we'll be able to use it, so to speak, because you can go park, you know, and walk over and kind of, you know, walk around if you want to. One thing, and this maybe this is a detail-y, but the question lingers in my head. Early on in this conversation, there was some concern that particularly 18-wheeler access, but even maybe fire trucks or EMS, that there would be some access issues, because getting off of Brent Lane on the bypass roads and then coming in the west side, that there was not adequate space on the lanes and that extra turnouts would have to be constructed. Did that all get solved? Is that not an issue because people are going to be coming in the front door? What's the status there?
Yeah, that all got resolved. I think that was more speculation than okay. reality. We've worked very closely with FDOT and civil engineers and others to make sure that we have a fully accessible campus to not just patients and families and visitors, our team members, ambulances, fire safety, everybody. And of course, when you're going through the process of opening and licensing a hospital, the state, the fire department, the city are all involved in those inspections. And we've had the fire trucks here recently, making sure, doing final checks to get our certificate of occupancy. And there's very easy ingress and egress. Good. There's a whole plan that they know how to access the campus. So no issues there at all.
Very good. And if, for people who aren't familiar with the area or recently, both Rawson Lane and the PCC entrance are both going to be active alternatives for kind of the east or the west way to get into campus, right?
That's correct. Yeah, right. Both of those.
So pay attention, drivers, because the light pattern may be a little bit different than you've seen recently. Well, there's all kinds of stuff. I'm so glad you were able to share with us some of this today, and I know it's been a massive thing. By my count, you have 66 hours and 40 minutes left until 3 a.m. I assume you guys are into the hours and minutes countdown until the 3 a.m. changeover. Anything that I failed to ask that you want to make sure and let the community know before we let you go, Brent?
No, Andrew, I think we covered it. I think what we talked about, really understanding that emergency department at the old campus will close at 3 a.m. and then will open at the new campus. I think that's the important thing. And then obviously the day of the move, you're going to see ambulances moving back and forth between campuses along with that police escort. So that's to be expected. And we just couldn't be more excited about what this opportunity and what this campus means for healthcare delivery in our community. We were founded locally here 73 years ago. And we know that this campus will serve our community for another 73 years and longer. So we couldn't be more excited about it.
And that was actually something I had meant to ask you. I guess I should have known. I'm sure many people do know this. But Baptist is an extremely unique thing because, HCA, okay, they are a network of healthcare providers. Ascension is a network of healthcare providers. Baptist Healthcare is a standalone, locally owned everything. There's not some other agency out of the state that, or even in the state, that organizes you. You are locally owned. You are locally overseen by a board of directors, volunteers, and everything is here in the community, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, that's what's really special about Baptist is we were born out of this community. Members of Pensacola in the 1940s said, we want better health care in our community, and they founded Baptist Healthcare here locally. We've carried on that vision of our founders for all these years. And you're right. I mean, there is no, conglomerate national headquarters. There's no shareholders that we're beholden to. We're partners with our community and have been for this time, which means that the support jobs, right? So senior leadership roles that typically would have a fewer number at other health systems that are a part of a national chain are here in our community. They live here. They work here. Their kids go to school here. Accounting functions, marketing functions, all those jobs are right here in our community. And it's such a cool part of, healthcare delivery. We believe healthcare delivery should be local. We've been entrenched in that through our entire history, and we'll continue to be entrenched in that for the future. And what's exciting about it is this new campus brings the best state-of-the-art national, worldwide best healthcare here to our community in a local environment where we're locally led by board members who live and grew up and have family in our community. And many of our senior leaders do too as well. And we think that's very special.
No, it is. I mean, in radio, we are locally owned by two people who own the four station cluster, and that's just weird in radio. Typically you're owned by some national, group of radio stations. And so I appreciate that. And I recognize that. I think it's really a cool thing about Baptist. Brett Aldridge, the president of Baptist Hospital, as always, Brett, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you're doing. We'll look forward to a seamless change on Saturday morning. Fingers crossed and prayers in.
Thank you, Andrew. And appreciated talking with you, and look forward to talking after we move in.
Absolutely. 825 here on News.